cuts. What cuts would you support? And specifically, I saw an ad in the Petersburg Pilot, I think it was a week or two ago, talking about your opponent, Jonathan Christ Tompkins, and the level of spending he supported in this past session. Would you have done something different if you were the representative in Juneau during this past session?
The fact that they took money out of the constitutional budget reserve seems to be something that they're touting as a good thing. And of course, we all want money for our ferries and public radio. But when you have to take it out of savings, and the savings are just rapidly disappearing, the question is, how was that helping to reduce the budget? If that was what the governor wanted, if the governor said, cut costs and find some new revenue, and what the minority did was put more money in the budget, so we'd have to spend more money that we actually were just borrowing from ourselves, how did that solve the problem of cutting costs?
So, to be clear, you would have not added that money back in, and that was for K-12 education, public broadcasting, Alaska Marine Highway, university system, and I might be forgetting a couple other things. But
Understood. I wasn't there, of course, so I can't tell you exactly what I would have done if I were there, but the majority worked very hard to come up with what they thought was a reasonable budget that could respond to the governor's request to cut costs, and they tried to get that budget passed. They had, of course, four Democrats were part of the majority, so it already was, in a sense, bipartisan, and the minority just kept saying, no, we're not going to sign it until we put some more money back in. So, of course, I want more money for the ferry system and public radio and education, but if it's not there, it's not going to be there next year. It's not going to be there the year after. The price of oil is not going to go up fast enough so that we can have everything we want to have. We have to cut costs. And I can't tell you exactly where I would cut those costs. Again, I wasn't there. If I'm there next year, I'll do what everybody else does. I'll look at the whole budget and evaluate where some cuts can be made.
Okay. If you cut all the government spending immediately and zeroed everything out, it still wouldn't make up for the budget deficit. So at
it's
some point,
still a problem.
You have to bring in some additional revenue. What
That's
is
right.
your top priority
That's right.
for bringing in money to the state checkbook?
We're going to be talking about taxes, as well as growing the economy, which is what I'm kind of passionate about, is that we have to develop more resources and grow the economy. We're still 75% dependent on oil. It's not that we haven't diversified because nobody's interested in making that happen and already working on it, but that has to be a priority, too, is how can we get more of our resources developed so that more income is coming into the state and corporate taxes and things like that, jobs. That's kind of long-term. We are going to be talking about taxes, and I've been misquoted as far as saying I'm not for taxes. What I said the other night when we had a forum was, I'm not the one that's going to bring these forward. The governor has in the past, and he will next year, say, I want you to talk about these taxes. So, and as I've gone around the districts, I've pretty much had that conversation with a lot of people, mainly the two big ones, sales tax or income tax, and how do people feel about either one of those, because it's probably going to happen. So, yeah, we're probably going to have some more taxes.
You've also brought up the issue of having someone be in the House majority who's elected to this seat.
Certainly helps from what I've seen.
I wanted to ask about that. In the past session, we've seen members of the House majority disciplined for not voting with the majority leadership on certain issues, losing committee posts and other ways they've been disciplined. Do you foresee that to be an issue if you're elected and a part of the House majority? Would you vote along with the House leadership, even if it meant voting against interests of your district? Or?
Hard to answer the question without having a specific situation come up.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, there's going to be times when you kind of have to decide between voting your conscience and voting with the majority, I guess. But like on the budget, when it comes to the budget, they negotiate and negotiate and negotiate. In the end, you kind of have to say yes to the budget, even if it's not the way you think it should be perfectly, because you need to get it passed. That's their role, is to get the budget passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to evaluate each particular situation that I was in if to see if I was going to come up with a situation like that.
A little bit more about budget cuts and some of the cuts that we've seen in recent years have directly impacted some of the resource extraction industries, timber and fishing. Specifically, fishing has been impacted by a lack of funding for research.
Mm-hmm.
Management has become more conservative, not mm-hmm, allowing for mm-hmm. as much fishing time in mm-hmm. areas in, around Southeast. On the timber side of things, we've heard about some of the funding impacting the state forest offices and that creating a problem with putting out timber sales on state lands.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is something that's going to have to continue if there are more budget cuts, or are there areas of the state budget that you think should not be cut? Because
that's a pretty hard one, isn't
I mean,
it? Because
you talk about growing the economy and trying
right.
to get some more of this resource extraction, but these things are in direct conflict.
Exactly. And I know what you're saying, and it's a good question. Because the fishermen need that research. They feel like some of their fisheries have been cut back simply because the research hasn't been done. So, what are you going to cut and what are you going to save? Theoretically, things that help to bring money in so that they could end up being sort of revenue neutral if what you're doing is allowing people to make a living. Then that could hopefully have some priority. Yeah, especially if it pays for itself. But it's just going to be tough all the way around the next few years. And I don't know how any legislator's not going to have a tough time, because no matter whether we're making cuts or telling people that we have to take money out of their pocket for taxes, none of us are going to be real happy in the next few years, because it's expensive to live here anyway. Whether you take half of people's permanent fund dividend, or you ask them to pay an income tax, or you ask them to pay a sales tax or more fisheries taxes, in order to make things work, it's all going to be painful, and they're going to be hugely difficult decisions. And I think I can only answer with any expertise when I'm actually there, looking at the facts and talking with the other people in the legislature. A large part of what I'm running on is that a lot of people just feel like they would like someone in the legislature with some real life experience and work experience and small business experience that helps to inform decisions. And that's primarily what I'm taking. The fact that I would be able to be in the majority and have a louder voice, be able to chair one of the committees, it just does allow you to have more influence. And if what we're lacking is influence for Southeast Alaska, then that's what Bert fights for in the legislature. That's what I would like to fight for, too, is be alongside Bert, helping him to get done what he wants to push in the Senate. I can help to push in the House.
You worked with Peggy Wilson, as you just mentioned. What did you learn from her when you observed her style as being a legislator, or what did you see behind the scenes that you can take to Juneau if you're elected?
Well, it was very useful, of course, because Peggy was not only chair of Transportation Committee, vice chair of Resources, both pretty big, important committees. She was trying to push her Transportation Infrastructure Fund. At the time, she worked on that for years, and that would have created a special fund that would have just been set for, you know, ferries and roads and terminals and things like that. Didn't manage to get that through, but we did a lot of work on that. And, of course, she was House Whip at the same time, which meant she was right up there in leadership. So watching her work and being a part of those committees and the important position that she was in was quite informative. I did push one of her bills all the way through, so went to all committees on both sides and onto the House floor and the Senate floor and onto the governor. And so I've, you know, helped to write bills and draft letters and communicate with people. I learned quite a bit by being there with Representative Wilson. Of course, she had served, you know, she was in her 11th and 12th years then, and so she really knew what she was doing, and it was good to work with her. I learned a lot.
I wanted to ask about veterans issues. Your husband was a Vietnam veteran.
Correct.
And given the state's fiscal situation, is there anything the state can do? Should the state be doing any more to help veterans and services or anything? Or is that just something that's not on the budget horizon right now?
Yeah, I don't know that that's on the budget horizon, but certainly being supportive of vets in other ways. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff. I think there's a lot of things that are going to have to happen in the state in the near future that aren't necessarily going to involve money. And this isn't just about vets, but we talked the other night about what we could do for the suicide rate and domestic violence. And we can't just say, oh, we'll just throw some more money at that. So there are going to be a lot of things that I think communities and individuals are going to have to take on and accept responsibility for supporting each other, whether it's vets or school kids or people in domestic violence situations, that as individuals, we're going to have to accept responsibility for. You know, I know that public radio is not getting as much money as they would like, so I went down to my local public radio station and upped my gift every year. I'm a sustaining member, and I gave them more money than I did last year. I mean, we're going to have to do that, not just out of our pocketbooks, but out of our personal lives, being supportive of each other and making things work, because it's not going to be fun fiscally. Mm-hmm. And yet, most of us aren't going anywhere, as Bert says. We love it here in Southeast Alaska, so there may be people around us that are picking up and leaving. Most of us aren't going to leave. We're going to stay here, so we're just going to have to learn to be strong for each other and make it work and get through this tough time.
Okay. A couple of local issues I wanted to ask about that are actually a little bit regional as well. One is Alaska Mental Health Trust logging, and it's a hot button topic here in Petersburg. There's some concern in Ketchikan as well. I understand this is a separate corporation from the state and not something that the state legislature per se has any direction over. However, it's a situation that has been created in the state of Alaska to fund mental health services. And the Alaska Mental Health Trust is looking at logging here in Petersburg in order to create money for the trust and fund mental health services. Is that something you support or oppose for that logging? Can you have a position on that?
In general, support, but I understand there's some property that both Petersburg and Ketchikan aren't particularly happy about.
They're looking at logging the hillside above the Mitkoff Highway, which is just south of town here, and people who live directly under that have have opposed it because mm-hmm. of concern of landslide risk.
And that's gone on for quite a while, hasn't it?
It has. It uh-huh. has. They first talked about it back in 2005, uh-huh. but they have just now put the deadline of saying we need this land exchange passed or we're going to go ahead in 2017.
Okay. I remember hearing about that when I worked for Representative Wilson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that people were upset and I understand they're upset in Ketchikan too, so...
And in fact, I think the homeowners here in Petersburg went to Representative Wilson with concerns over the Forest Practices Act and lack of language in there for danger from
protection.
Right. So maybe you were there when that issue came up.
I remember that coming up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're in the majority, you can have a little more impact on that. And certainly I would want to be in support of the communities in my district, which, of course, Ketchikan isn't, but Petersburg is. So I would want to be there to speak up for what the residents of Petersburg want as opposed to what the Mental Health Trust wants. And at the same time, supporting the Mental Health Trust because, of course, that is how they get their income. Mm-hmm. But there are surely ways that a better solution can be negotiated.